Hold on. Wait. Just a minute. Let's try this instead. Oh, yes. It's the Sunday Jazz Brunch edition of the Mad Money Machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Coming up on the Mad Money Machine, show number 9. We'll try and pick which stock Jim Cramer said sell that went down the most. Then, we'll look at November 28th, 2005. Which one of his picks worked way back when till now? Our tool in the crib this time will keep you up at night for weeks. In the new money segment, we review what a P.E. ratio is. All on the Sunday Morning Jazz Brunch edition of the Mad Money Machine. And of course, it may not be Sunday when you're listening to this, but that's okay. In fact, it might be Valentine's Day when you're listening to this. I was going to do a Valentine's Day show, but Jim Cramer says not to fall in love with stocks. So instead, we'll do this. Hello and welcome to the Mad Money Machine. On each show, I'll review some of Jim Cramer's featured stock picks from CNBC's most watched show, Mad Money. And I'll have lots of other fun investment topics to talk about. And as always, this disclaimer. This show doesn't provide any investment advice. I'm really just telling you what other people have said. Do your own homework before spending any money. Did you miss me? Well, I missed you. Thanks for sticking with me through my being out of town. I went to Arizona with a couple friends, Bob and Todd. Thanks very much, guys, for inviting me to that. And also, we had a little bit of snow here on the East Coast. And when it snows, you must go sledding. You cannot do your show. You must go sledding. And also coming up this week, Friday, February the 17th, is going to be my birthday. And also, I wanted to give a little extra time to the new folks to hear the Groundhog Day special show, show number 8. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it had some great music in it. If you haven't heard show number 8, well, go take a listen. Let's turn first to the feedback mailbag and voicemail line. I did get some feedback from our friend and correspondent here at the Mad Money Machine, Catherine, who goes by the name Kate. She says, hello again. I'm not sure what to do with Cramer's losers. Intel, St. Joe, Toll Brothers, Marchex, Shearing Plough, and Genentech. And does anyone else have similar bad luck choosing his losers versus winners? Is there a strategy for buying on his advice? Is there a way to measure his success or failure by sector or another variable you can think of? No one can appear on television every day and find endless winners. We just buy it on his word. We're the crackle. And let the chips fall. Can we do better by adding caps on price-earnings ratios or book value or other variables to Cramer's picks when we do our homework? Discouraged, Kate. Kate, later in this show, I'll have a look at one day in the history of the Mad Money Show and examine every stock that Jim Cramer suggested on that day, bull or bear, and we will see how we would have done investing in his recommendations on that day. As another suggestion, I might have said that we should probably pay more attention to his featured stocks because he obviously puts more research into them than his off-the-cuff remarks during the lightning round. However, the featured stocks are the ones that have the biggest Cramer crackle, and we can't get them cheaply after he mentions them. So my humble advice is listen to the Mad Money Machine, and I'll give you a reminder of the stocks that he has recently recommended after they've gone back down below the price when he recommended them. I'd like to hear other people's experience with investing with Jim Cramer's stock picks. Send me an email to feedback@madmoneymachine.com. Oh, by the way, the Sunday Jazz Brunch edition of the Mad Money Machine is featuring music from music.podshow.com. That was Simpatico with Take My Love. Coming up, The Core, and Mobius Triplet. Hey, here's something I just found out. I wonder if you knew this. First of all, have you heard about the exchange-traded fund? Goes by the symbol GLD. It's the Street Tracks Gold Trust. And these are ways to own gold without paying storage costs and other, you know, having to actually hold the gold brick in your hands. The GLD is priced at 1/10. The price of an ounce of gold. So if gold is $540 an ounce, the Street Tracks GLD will be $54 per share. What I didn't realize, though, was that gold ETFs are considered collectibles like artwork, and they're taxed at 28% capital gains rate in the U.S. after being held for more than 1 year. So the long-term capital gains rate of normal stocks at 15% doesn't apply to this stock because it's a collectible. On the previous show, I said I'd look at the difference between 7% per year returns and 8% per year returns. Have you ever done something like this? Let's say you had $100,000 to invest and you got 7% return per year. That's compounded growth. At the end of 20 years, you would have $387,000. At the end of 20 years, at 8%, though, your $100,000 would turn into $466,000. That's a difference of $79,000 just by getting 1% more return on your investment per year. Let's say you're a really long-termer. You've got some money in a 401k plan and you're young, say 35. If you have $100,000 in your 401k plan when you're 35, at 7% per year, after 30 years when you're 65, that is now worth $761,000. But at 8% per year, just one more percent per year, that $100,000 turned into $1,006,000. That's a difference of $245,000 just by 1%. What about 2%? Double those numbers. From 7% to 9%. So at the end of 30 years, a 9% return on your $100,000 would turn into an additional $565,000. Sure makes you want to pay attention to your investments, doesn't it? Coming up on March 14th is the 1 year anniversary of the TV show Mad Money with Jim Cramer. You know, anniversaries are often a time to reflect, perhaps make changes. Here's some changes I'd like to recommend, Jim, that you make. First one is, you need to calculate your performance on stocks as of the next opening price. I've talked about the Cramer crackle. People can't buy the stocks at the closing price on the day you recommend them. We have to buy the stocks at the next day's opening price. So how can you calculate the performance from before you recommended the stock? So another way to dampen the Cramer crackle, Jim, is to tell us ahead of time what stocks you're going to be talking about on your show. Now, you don't have to tell us whether you're going to be bullish or bearish on them, but just put on your website or make available earlier in the day, say when you're actually doing the show, so that we can go on the web, check out what stocks you're going to talk about, and then if we can decide to buy them or not, that should help to dampen the explosion in the stock price. At least gives some of us who are paying attention a little bit better chance to buy them at a cheaper price. So let's do some Mad Money review now. Before I get into the Mad Money review, though, let me talk about one thing. On the Fox News show Bulls and Bears this past weekend, Tobin Smith recommended a company called Atmel Corporation, ATML. He said it's a high-def high-def radio is coming, and Atmel is a player there, and also in WiMAX. He said the company has been beaten up. I question that. I look at the chart. It seems to be going up. He said it's a renaissance, high-def radio. the other guy, Scott, across the desk said it would said wait for it to go down 20% first and then buy it. So this led me to check out what Jim Cramer had to say about the stock. I went to the street.com and the Mad Money performance page. I typed in ATML. And on 28 November, he said, sell. He said it's the kind of $3 integrated circuit play that will put you in the house of pain. Well, the stock has risen 50% since he said sell, which makes me wonder what Tobin Smith meant by saying it's been beat up. I wanted to go back and see to that day on November 28th and see what other calls he made on that day and how they have performed since then. It's a sort of day in the life of Mad Money. Let's start out by doing it this way. Pick which of these four stocks that Cramer said bear on went down the most. He had four, there were at least four stocks in the lightning round that he said to sell. The first one I'll give you is National City Corp, NCC. He said, own this when the Fed stops tightening. Equitable Resources, EQT. He said it's a natural resource play. EQT with a 2% yield is not attractive. Constellation Brands, STZ. Turn from one of the greatest stocks in the past 5 years to the House of Pain. And PPG Industries, PPG, said buy it below 60. So remember, these are the ones you were supposed to sell, or at least not buy. So pick the one that went down the most. National City, Equitable Resources, Constellation Brands, or PPG. Well, if you said EQT, Equitable Resources, that went down 8.3%. That's a good call. PPG, down 4.9%. Another good call. And by the way, it is down below 60, so maybe it's time to buy. We'll have to look at that. NCC, National City Corp, it's up 0.4%, flat, not too bad. And in Constellation Brands, it's up 14.5%. So the winner on Pick the Cramer Bear is EQT, Equitable Resources, down 8.3%. In total on that day, he featured seven stocks. There were nine in the lightning round that he was bullish on, and 10 in the lightning round that he was bearish on. In order to calculate how we would have performed, I pretended to place $10,000 on each stock. And I know this is a little bit ludicrous. And if he said sell it, then we sold it short at $10,000. And then I took all the gains that we would have made, or losses if it was a short, negative losses, let's call it. And also, by the way, if he said to change his mind anywhere along the way, then I took advantage of that. For example, on OraSure, he said to buy it. Then on December 12th, he said to sell it. So I sold it at the next day's opening price, which resulted in a loss of about $1,400. The big winner was Form Factor, up 33%. So we gained, we were at $13,300 off of Form Factor. The big loser was the one I've already mentioned, which was Atmel Corporation. He said sell it. It was up 50%. So if you would have invested $10,000 in each one of these 26 calls, that would be $260,000. And again, if he said to sell it, then I would put a short position on it, meaning if it goes down, that's when you make money. The bottom line is that at the end of the performance period, through the closing prices of February 13th, or when he made the next call on the stock, if he said to sell it or buy it in the interim, you would have been at $265,042. That's a difference of $5,000, or about 2% return on your investment. And I'm taking into account here Ameritrade, which gave a $6 per share dividend. So that went up 8%. Now, I'm not an accountant, so I can't guarantee these numbers are completely accurate. You can do your own math if you want to. if you had put the money in the Vanguard Total Market ETF, ticker symbol VTI, you would have made 1.3%. So that's just one day in the life of Mad Money. Maybe someday we'll pick another day at random and see how we would have done on another day. On a more positive note, let's look at the stocks that have gone up the most since he's recommended them. And this is since mid-December, the stocks since mid-December that he's recommended that have gone up the most. Micron Technology, MU, gone up 14%. Pike Electric, PEC, up 14%. Ceradyne, CRDN, up 14.8%. Acadia Pharmaceuticals, up 16.2%. International Securities Exchange, up 16%. Broadcom, up 22%. Allegheny Technologies, up 26%. Rediff, 26.5%. Rackable Systems, up 28%. And the big winner, Intermagnetics General Corporation, IMGC, up 32.1%. All these stocks have had a big gain. What about some stocks that have had some big losses since he's recommended them? Maybe they're the ones that you should look at as time to buy. I don't know. Do some homework on it. Some of these he's actually said sell since he's recommended it. Going down the list, Crystalex, KRY, down 16.5%. Gray Wolf, GW, down 17%. CalDive International, CDIS, down 17.5%. Ultra Petroleum, UPL, down 18%. Omnova Solutions, down 18%. Goodyear Tire and Rubber, GT, down 20.5%. Charles and Colvard, CTHR, down 22.5%. Bentley Pharmaceuticals, BNT, down 26%. Lexar Media, LEXR, down 26.5%. And the big loser, which he admitted was a loser, Oculogix, RHEO, down 71.1%. So you might take a look at those. I'll have all of these out on the website for you to review, madmoneymachine.com. You hear that sound and you know what time it is. It's time to play Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the reel, roll the marble. And for the selected guru, I'll give a little background on the investment philosophy and pick a stock or investment that matches it. Well, the winner this time on Guru Roulette is Robert Kiyosaki. You might not recognize the name Robert Kiyosaki. I know I wouldn't. But would you recognize the name of this book? Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Actually, his first book, which didn't sell quite as well, was called If You Want to Be Rich and Happy, Don't Go to School, Ensuring Lifetime Security for Yourself and Your Children. That was written in 1993. Well, every contrarian has an audience, I guess, and the louder you scream, the more people will hear you. People tend to listen to things that match up with their preconceived notions, don't they? When's the last time you bought a book that touts the very opposite of what you believe? Robert Kiyosaki has built quite an empire of these Rich Dad books. If you take a look out on Amazon under his name, you'll find a lot of books with the Rich Dad in the title. Remember the show about diversification being the free lunch? Robert Kiyosaki says, Warren Buffett, one of the world's greatest investors, said diversification is a protection against ignorance. It makes very little sense for those who know what they're doing. You can read a column of Robert Kiyosaki out on the Yahoo Finance pages. I've got a link to that from the madmoneymachine.com gurus page. Robert goes on to say, many financial advisors recommend that you diversify for your own protection. What they fail to tell you is that it's also for their protection. Since most financial advisors cannot tell you exactly which stock or mutual fund is a great investment, they tell you to buy a bunch of them. Instead of diversifying, my rich dad taught me to focus on finding the best investments. That meant sifting through hundreds of offers, studying, analyzing, and determining the pros and cons of each. Learning to focus was one of the best real-world business lessons I received from my rich dad. It helped me become a better entrepreneur and investor. Focusing on investments also allows me to make more money with less risk, because I'm not buying a bunch of subpar assets and praying they will do something. Well, what investment would Robert Kiyosaki recommend for you? Actually, he wouldn't recommend stocks or paper-based assets at all. He'd recommend that you start a company, start a business, or invest in real estate. He said these are the way to make real wealth. So that's our guru for show number 9, Robert Kiyosaki. Let's take a quick look at the Portfolio Smackdown results so far. If you're just joining us here on the Mad Money Machine, what we're doing is at the beginning of this year, 2006, we put two portfolios against each other to see which one would do the best this year. The first one is just a exchange-traded fund portfolio that collects a bunch of stocks, and there are 9 of those exchange-traded funds in the portfolio. But the interesting part is the Jim Cramer Select Favorite Stocks that I've picked from his featured stocks. There are 10 of them in 10 different categories, and we're trying to see whether we can beat the broad averages. Well, as of closing prices on Monday, February 3rd, the Cramer portfolio is up 6.3%. The ETF portfolio is up 3.6%. One thing that I haven't pointed out very often so far, though, is that we have some short-term capital gains on the Cramer portfolio, which would result in an extra $844 in taxes that we'll have to pay from that portfolio. So the net gain so far is 5.5%. So 5.5 versus 3.6. We're still ahead of the game. Remember that 1% per year is very important. Our Tools in the Crib segment is where I give you some suggestions for a tool that helps you with your investments. The tool this time comes from InvestorSolutions.com. A fellow there by the name of Frank Armstrong called on his 30 years of experience as a portfolio manager and investment counselor to write Investment Strategies for the 21st Century. And as far as they know, it's the first investment book ever published on the internet. The book, which has become an internet cult classic, won instant worldwide acclaim as one of the finest non-technical finance and investment guides ever written. Says Frank, "I love finance. I don't think it has to be dull, and it doesn't have to be mysterious. I want Joe Sixpack to read, enjoy, and profit from the revolution on Wall Street. Investors of very modest means can construct portfolios which rival the sophistication of multi-billion dollar institutions. Using no-load mutual funds," and here I'd have to include ETFs now, "everyone can invest economically and effectively and have confidence that they will be able to meet their financial goals." There are 24 chapters in this free book available on the web. I recommend you bookmark it and read at least a chapter a week. And, of course, I'll have a link to this book on the Tools page of the MadMoneyMachine.com website. So this week's Tool in the Crib is the free book called Investment Strategies for the 21st Century. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money. Now give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Oh, that's great music by Theory in Motion, a song called Money. Well, with my birthday coming up this Friday, February the 17th, would you give me a birthday present? Please go out to the MadMoneyMachine.com website and do this for me. Press on that vote button at the top right corner of the web page. You've got to do that every month because it resets to 0 when the month ends. And the second thing to do when you're out at the website just click on one of those Google ads. You know I get a couple of nickels every time you click on one of those things. And finally, do this. Let me know which format of the show you like better. If you're a new listener, this is a little bit different format, the Sunday Jazz Brunch format. If you're a regular listener, you know that we've usually been over the top and we do the rock and roll music. So email me at feedback@maddenmoneymachine.com and let me know whether you like the over-the-top rock and roll or the Sunday Jazz Brunch version of the Mad Money Machine. The New Money segment of the show is where we go over some fundamentals of investing, and it's good for new investors, kids, and as a review for experienced investors. This time we're going to look at what a P/E ratio means. P/E ratio means the stock price divided by the earnings. That's the P and the E, price and the earnings. The P/E ratio of a stock is used to measure how cheap or expensive share prices are. The P/E ratio is also sometimes called the earnings multiple, or simply the multiple, or the P/E. The price per share, that's the numerator of the ratio, is the market price of a single share of the stock. The earnings per share, the denominator, is the net income of the company for the most recent 12-month period, divided by number of shares outstanding. When we use the previous year's earnings, it's called sometimes called the trailing P/E, and when the analysts try to guess next year's earnings, they call it the forward P/E. The main reason to calculate P/Es is for the investors to compare the values of stocks, one stock with another. If one stock has a P/E ratio twice that of another stock, it's probably a less attractive investment. But comparisons between industries or countries or between time periods are sometimes dangerous. To have faith in a comparison of P/E ratios, you should be comparing comparable stocks. Apples to apples, oranges to oranges, not Apple, APPL, to Granger, GWW. I've known people who think a stock priced at $12 is cheaper than a stock priced at $33. While it may cost less to buy 100 shares of the $12 stock, this isn't the way to say it's cheaper. You have to look at the price-to-earnings ratio. Even then, it may not be proper to say that one is cheaper than the other unless the two stocks are in roughly the same industry. Finance.yahoo.com says that Google's P/E is 72, Yahoo is 25. eBay is 51, and Amazon is 46, and Microsoft, what do you think? It's 22. Looking at energy stocks, Oxy is at 6.7 P/E, and Encana is at 9.8 P/E. Neighbors, NBR, is 18. Chesapeake is 15.6, Valero is 8.3, and ExxonMobil, what do you think? 10.4. So before you buy a stock, it's wise to look not just at the stock's price or even just a chart of its recent prices, but also its P/E ratio and the company's earnings history. In fact, the P/E ratio of a stock is one of the two key components that make up the MagicFormula.com's criteria for selecting the best stocks to buy. When you look at P/E ratios, when you pay attention to your investments, you're operating a well-oiled mad money machine. Played a lot of good music from the PodSafe Music Network on this show. Go out to my website, madmoneymachine.com, and you'll see a list of all the songs there if you want to go get them. I don't normally close the Mad Money Machine show with a song, but in the spirit of Valentine's Day, in the spirit of Sunday morning jazz brunch, and to preview an upcoming show called Pimpin' All Over the World, I present Desirati with Love is the Thread.
Like the thump, thump, thump. beat, like the boom, boom, boom of the drum. My love will be there forever, as long as the stars up above. Like the tick, tick, tick of a wristwatch, like quiet whispers of love. My heart is yours for the taking, leaving me breathless and
for listening. Don't forget my birthday present, and don't forget to subscribe to the Mad Money Machine. See you next time. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, TheStreet.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of this program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.